plight of the wicked. Job chapter 20, verses 1 to 29. Zophar's line of argument is that the wicked shall not prosper, but will be cut off based on his observations, from his experience, from what he observed in the things around him. He tells us the transitory state of the wicked, verse 1 to 11, and the judgment of God upon the wicked. This is given in an outline by Hannah, by this man called Hannah. Right? And we want to study from him. And also, we meditate upon the text here, and the Lord wants us to see. The only book God ever wrote starts with Job. You ever wonder why the Bible starts chronologically with the book of Job? And why is it that it speaks about a man's affliction, a believer's affliction? Well, I believe there's no accident why it is the first book of the Bible. If you think about life, wow, how hard is it? How difficult it is to live life, isn't it? And as we think of it, no wonder the Lord has placed a lot of priority on giving wisdom to his people so that they may have the wisdom, the strength, the know-how, the wherewithal to handle the hard life or life that comes, the reality of life. And so as we study the book of Job, you would see that Job indeed was a man who suffered. But if you look at the life of the people around us, you notice also that it can be no less. Right? Everyone has their fair share. And so how does the people of God handle this? Well, Job says at the close of chapter 19, if God would record his sufferings in a rock and seal the words permanently on stone, right? You suffer. And what he wanted that the Lord would do is that his testimony, the testimony of his experience with God and his suffering, be recorded for posterity so that others may learn concerning the reality of life, and yet also to learn the grace of God in the life of God's people. And the Lord wants us to learn it, and learn it very, very well. God said in the scriptures, we hold with us, heaven and earth shall pass away, our Lord Jesus says, but my words shall not pass away. How can we learn the lesson of overcoming in suffering? Well, study the book of Job. And we have been spending time to study, and you may be wondering why we are taking so much time. This is our, I think it was 51st message on the book of Job. Wow, why are we spending so much time? We are only halfway through the book. Well, we want to learn about life, the reality of life. Seeking justice and fairness was utmost priority in Job's heart when he defended his integrity before his friends. God saw Job's heart and affirmed that Job is righteous. And the Lord try our hearts too. And the Lord wants us to try our own hearts, search our own hearts. And if there be any wicked way in us, that the Lord may lead us in the way everlasting. In other words, that we may search our hearts, we may be willing, right, always to give an account to God. Right? Has anybody asked you before, who are you accountable to? Who are you accountable to? Well, you said, I'm accountable to God. I have to account to Him every day. Every day. Why? Because he's the judge. And unless we are so oblivious, right, of our spiritual life, that we don't understand the presence of God, right, reigning supreme in on his throne above us, wow, then, you know, the presumptuous life is a very sad life. Why? Because the presumptuous life is a life where we find ourselves not fulfilling the will of God for our lives. But the Lord wants us to fulfill his good will. And so as we study the book of Job, you'll find how it's important that we know God's assessment of us is ultimately what really counts. So do not despair when you're unable to explain yourself all the time. Hard as you might try to do, right? Sometimes you just cannot explain. You cannot say so much. The Lord knows. Well, question is asked when we are the source of others' distress. Right? Do you want to be the source of others' distress? We don't want to be the source of others' distress. But as you study the book of Job, you would be able to see various characters that were the source of others' distress. And Romans 14, verse 10 to 12 says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. God is the only heart specialist in this world. God is the only one. And the only one who can read hearts and determines our heart condition. And it does not preclude judging sin, right, in situations of church discipline, in the teaching and preaching of God's word. And so, at times, God may allow allegations to be heard at us so vehemently that we do not know where to start defending. And this is what Job is experiencing. Right? Job is facing this torrent of accusations, and we are just passing the midpoint of the mental torture that he had to endure before his trial will be lifted. So, you see, life is not so easy, right? But what is the purpose God allowing such suffering to behold or before the life of a man? Well, the character of long-suffering is so lacking in the life of God's people today. What is long-suffering? Well, it is defined, the Greek word makrotumeo. It is defined a state of emotional quietness in the face of unfavorable circumstances. In this context, it describes the believer as exhibiting patience, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrong inflicted by others. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is not a natural action of man, but a supernatural action of the Holy Spirit working in the believer. It is an attribute of God. It is a communicable attribute that believers possess as a fruit of the Spirit. It is the quality of a person who is able to avenge himself and yet refrains from doing so. It is patience in respect to persons. Right? There are one other word in the Bible that is used to describe a person's patience. Patience is endurance in putting up with things or circumstances. But here is in putting up with people. And that you would find so tough. That is where the Lord wants that the fruit of his Spirit be cultivated. Right? You look at the home, the relationship between husband and wife, the relationship between parents and children, the relationship in the church between one person and another person. Well, how important it is that the Lord would develop this fruit of patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance. The Lord wants that His people may learn that kind of strength, patient faith in God under the pressure of trying circumstances. How important it is, and the Lord wants us to think how important it is that we may be able to develop that kind of a relationship. Galatians 5:13-15 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another of one another." So how important it is that Paul writes this. Why? Because you see that in the life of the believer, the flesh that is within us, right? The spirit of the fallen man need to be mortified. Mortified means to be put to death. And we are constantly needing to search ourselves, constantly needed to be reminded, constantly needed to be, in a sense, sometimes you may say it, even to be awakened, sometimes even to be checked, sometimes even to be, you know, to realize that, hey, yeah, we have overstepped ourselves. And how important it is that we need to learn, right, this strength of heart, right, to suppress, right, the spirit, or suppress the fallen person, right, that is within us. And let the Holy Spirit have reign, have full sway, have full control over our lives. Right? How important it is. And that would lead to spiritual maturity. And the Lord wants us to learn this lesson. And, you know, you learn it within the family, in your interaction between husband and wife, between children and parents, between people within the family. And that is where, you know, children, when they are young, they learn, they see what's going on in the family, what's going on around them, and that's where they learn, and that's where they, you know, pick up good habits or bad habits. If, you know, in the home, there is so much of bickering and so much of disharmony and so much of distress, they lack a warmth and love and security in the home, then you'll find that it's so hard, isn't it? When the child grows up, he tries to find security outside. Friends outside. Don't like home. Why? Because at home, there is no such secure place for them. Well, but the Lord is saying to us that we need to grow. And here you see Job having to face these friends of his, making judgment upon him. And, you know, Naaman or Zophar the Naamanite could be you know, someone within your family, someone close to you, then how? How are you to handle? Right? And you will find that there is a need that the Lord puts these characters within our domain or our sphere of contact, in order that we may learn and develop and bear the Spirit's fruit in our lives. So you'll find that Job is being tried, you know, in the sense that you would probably feel very upset with this man, Zophar. But what is Zophar doing for Job? Well, Zophar is in a sense, is purifying the man, right? Through all these things he had to endure. How do you endure? How do you handle? Well, accept that the grace of God comes into our life. The grace of God. Right? You see how important it is. If not for the grace of God, the fight would have been so bad. Right? In the family, you see so many cases. Cases that, hey, I need to seek protection order. Why? Because, well, life becomes violent in the home. No good. And what do you do? If you are at the receiving end of the suffering, will you endure? Then he said, how to endure? How to endure? So the Lord tells us, and you know, sometimes put us through these difficult circumstances, difficult people around us, in order to develop the Spirit's fruit in our life. So for Job, he receives all this from Zophar, right? And Zophar begins very passionately. He says, therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, for this I make haste. I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causes me to answer. He says, Matthew Henry said, well, he begins very passionately, seemed to be in the great heat at what Job had said. Being resolved to condemn Job for a bad man, he was much displeased that he talked so like a good man. So he was so upset because Job speaks as if he's a good man. And for Zophar, he was dead sure that Job was a wicked man. How did he come to that kind of a conclusion? And he's so adamant. Well, James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. The attitude for spiritual transformation is to control the temple. Be willing to listen and learn rather than to speak and give it your opinion, unless you know that it is a sanctified mind that will bear spiritual fruit. Right? The sanctified mind possesses God's mind and bring forth God's character. And we realize the flesh in us is filthy and carnal. It brings pain and misery to our lives when it is not stopped and put to death. It can ruin relationships and affect lives negatively. And so, therefore, we need to put on patience that bring good self-control. He that is slow to wrath is of good understanding, but he that is of the hasty spirit exhorteth folly. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You see, the way the Proverbs writes is so good, right? There's a fool in each one of us. And therefore, as you look at it, you reflect upon it and said, yeah, this must change. Right? May God grant the grace to change. Right? We need to put on patience that brings self-control. The man who is soon angry is one who does does not possess his reins, leaving a trail of anger, violence, destruction behind him. Cain killed his brother Abel because of jealousy. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. So when James said to be slow to wrath, it literally means long of noses or breath. We might say when facing a trying time, take a deep breath, count to 10 before speaking. Count to 10. This to act with understanding. Right? Patient may be a bitter plant, but it sweets a bitter pill, as the saying goes. Right? And on the other hand, to be hasty of spirit means literally short of spirit, hence quick of spirit, to be short-fused. And what is the outcome? But to exhort folly. This is what we learn when we study the book of Proverbs by Dennis Gibson. So it's good to go back again. Remember, we spent 1 year in a devotion studying the book of Proverbs. Wow, lots of lessons. It takes some time to learn one. I remember taking time to read one, then you summarize it in two sentences. Try to summarize it in two sentences. Read, then understand, then summarize it. Wow, so much to learn, right? Why is it so important? You would realize that every one of them is a life lesson. And you would face it sometime or other in your life. And if you have learned it, then at that time, you are able to apply it. But if you have not learned it, right, while you are reading that passage, or you are studying it, right, half the mind is somewhere else, then, you know, when the crunch time comes, we realize, we haven't really learned it, but we were there at that time, but we haven't appropriated the lesson. And therefore, you find that for the people of God, how important it is that the Lord wants us to learn and be able to, in a sense, be able to overcome. Right? And you look at Zophar, well, he was so swift to speak to Job. He said to him that he's from verses 4 to 9, that he's a wicked man, so he will be swiftly judged, verse 5a. And his joy will swiftly end, verse 5b. And from verse 6 to 9, he shall perish swiftly. Oh, this is what is being hurled right, upon the man. And how sad it is, right, that something of this comes to the heart of a man, and you know the suffering that comes through these words. That the triumphing of the verse 5 says of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Though his excellency mount up to the heavens, his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. So there's a lot of imagery in the description. He uses very flowery language, good description, right, of everyday circumstances in order to illustrate the point. So, you know, this Zophar is also a skilled in rhetoric. He is able to put across it well. It's just that he has not been able to understand the situation well with Job. And that's where you see our men having to receive, we said, someone said negative vibes, negative vibes. you find that this is part and parcel of life. And the people of God, for the people of God, we need to have learned that strength to overcome. And it is through the cultivation of the soul, through the studying and reading of the Word of God. So important. You read the Word, and then you study it, right? You go to those who have learned the lesson, and those who have experienced it, testify, learn it, written it for their own life testimony. And there are so many of these men who have gone through life, and they have written, and if you have learned it, then you say, oh yeah, like that, this is what I must do. So you find that the men of God, right, would spend a lot of time searching the scriptures, spend a lot of time learning, right? No time for anything else, right? If it's not studying the word, what else do we do? Well, we are praying, right? We are praying. We are at the throne of grace, interceding, right? Because we know that we are useless, right? We can't do much. So may the Lord grant us His grace, His wisdom, right, to follow Him. Amen.